Hello and welcome to the commentary for Lesson 312, Ecclesiastes 7 and 8. So, more wisdom from Solomon. Kind of depressing, but really just more observing and offering advice to future generations. Kind of, you know, he's examining life big picture in his old age. And a few things stood out to me. Chapter 7, verse 3, he says, "Sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time." He kind of contradicts himself, but really he contradicts himself because later at the end he says the only thing in life is just to, you know, just I recommend, I'll just say this, chapter 8, verse 15. "So I recommend having fun because there is nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life." So that's a very different message than what he says in chapter 7. "Sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time." Two contradictory statements. But really, I think what he's displaying in these two chapters is that it's important that we have balance in life, that we seek wisdom, and we do that by fearing God and trying to live a life that pleases Him. We take wise counsel. Verse 5 says, "Better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool." We know that's true. I think really the main message in all of this is life balance. Be able to take criticism, assuming it comes from the right people. But try to stop and smell the roses, right? Enjoy life. Don't get too caught up in trying to find the meaning in life gaining all wisdom, because like he says, there are limits of human wisdom, right? There are things we will never understand. He motions to the idea that in verse 15, "I have seen everything in this meaningless life, including the death of good young people and the long life of wicked people," right? And then in verse 18, he says, you know, "Don't be too wise or too wicked, and pay attention to these instructions, for anyone who fears God will avoid both extremes." We should know, we should seek wisdom, but we should also know that we will never know everything. But we trust that God does. Right? Verse 8 was convicting to me. Backing up a little bit, it says, "Finishing is better than starting." I'm ADD, so I start all kinds of projects. I have trouble actually finishing stuff. That's why this is such a big deal for me. Because not only am I going to finish it, but it's taking me a long time. This is quite a commitment. Patience is better than pride. That was probably my personal takeaway from this reading. Couple more that I want to talk about real quickly, verses 11 and 12. "Wisdom is even better when you have money. Both are a benefit as you go through life." See, money is not bad. Wealth isn't even bad. It's just the money, the love of money, that's bad. That creates us, it brings us into temptation and into sin. But if we can stay wise and maintain our God-fearing abilities and be, have a discerning spirit, then wealth can be a blessing, not just in our lives, but in those around us, right? The best thing, I think, the coolest thing is when someone is really wealthy, but you wouldn't know it to look at them. Their house is nothing special. They don't wear fancy clothes. They don't drive a Mercedes or a BMW. They live very simply. And everyone around them assumes that they are on the same financial, kind of in the same financial place, right? That's my favorite thing to see, because if you don't show your wealth to others, they get real with you. People get weird when they know you have a lot of money. So if they're getting real with you, then you get to know people and you can know them and their hard circumstances that they're going through. You can know their heart. You can, they trust you and you can help them secretly. That's always been my dream. If I was ever wealthy, I thought it would be so fun to just kind of be a secret millionaire and just help those around me, in an anonymous way, that they might feel the grace of God through that, that they might be blessed that way. That would be so cool. And then verse 12, wisdom and money can get you almost anything, but only wisdom can save your life. Ain't that the truth? Verse 13, accept the way God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? Okay. Accept the way God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? We can make our case to God, but he knows what's best for us. He knows the path. He knows where we came from. He knows where we're at, and he knows where we're headed. He knows the best plan that he has for us. So he will always try to light the path in that way. Sometimes we don't understand what he has in store for us. But if we are obedient and we can recognize what is of God and what is of this world, and we can recognize where God wants us to go, that takes a lifetime to learn. I'm still learning that. But I feel like right now I am taking steps towards things that I don't fully understand. I'm doing that in obedience. I'm praising God because he has surrounded me. I prayed for godly women, that God would bring me good godly women in my life. And he has. And I'm so excited because they're women. We're all at different stages, but we are in the same place spiritually. We love God. We have been tested. We have been tried. And we still give him the glory. We want more than anything, we want to be in relationship with him. We want to hear from him. We want to feel his presence. And so we are obedient because that is what our goal is. We've experienced God in a personal way. And when you have that, or a Holy Spirit experience, it's unmistakable. It is faith building, because no one can convince you otherwise when you've personally experienced it. And you will spend the rest of your life wanting more of that and seeking that. And everything you do will be towards that goal. Verse 14, enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. Remember that nothing is certain in this life. We know that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. We have to accept his plan. We may not always like it. I don't know how it started. My pastor calls it prosperity teaching or prosperity preaching. But when you become saved and you become a Christian, it's not all roses and rainbows. You're going to come upon tough times. It's not a blessed and prosperous life. Sometimes some people get that, but I guarantee you they don't get it without testing first and trials first. Okay, then verse 15, I have seen everything in this life is meaningless, including the death of good young people and the long life of wicked people. I think we already talked about that one. Okay, let's move down to verse 26. I discovered that a seductive woman is a trap more bitter than death. Her passion is a snare, and her soft hands are chains. Those who are pleasing to God will escape her, but sinners will be caught in her snare. Okay, well, that's true of a seductive woman, but then later he makes a statement that's kind of a bit extreme. In verse 28, he says, Only one out of 1,000 men is virtuous, but not one woman. So, man, he must have been burned badly by women, right? I mean, he had a lot of wives and a lot of concubines. And so I'm sure that created trouble and chaos among the women. I'm sure he had plenty of women problems, right? So, but maybe the reason he hasn't experienced one single virtuous woman is because he never treated one with honor and made her his one and only true love. He never had a monogamous relationship. Perhaps the Song of Solomon was his first love. That was beautiful. Perhaps that was before he had all the other women. But yeah, women are not going to be virtuous and wonderful and lovely if they're not cherished. Women need to be to feel cherished. So as wise as he is, he never quite figured out the woman thing, did he? But I do like in verse 8 how he said, wisdom lights up a person's face, softening its harshness. You can tell by looking at the face of an old person. You can tell a lot just by looking at where their wrinkles are. You can tell how much they've suffered in life. You can see it all over their face. You can see that they've lived a long time, that you can see smile wrinkles or frown wrinkles. You can see a lot in an old person's face and in their eyes. And they do, if they're wise, they're quiet, they're at peace, they seem like they're, you know, it is well with my soul kind of people. I can appreciate that. And then he goes, we'll finish this off soon. He goes to the wicked and the righteous, and he's comparing, and he says in verse 9, I have thought deeply about all that goes on here under the sun, where people have the power to hurt each other. So he has been burned. He has felt that personally. I have seen wicked people buried with honor. So he's noticing the injustices in the world, how we honor the wicked, sometimes not recognizing that they're wicked, but we belittle wise and righteous people. See, we don't see things the way God sees them. Scripture tells us that over and over again. He sees the heart. We only see the surface. So that's why we have to trust his judgment. Verse 14, in this life, good people are often treated as though they are wicked, and wicked people are often treated as though they were good. Yeah, that's unfair. But God knows the true story, right? Back up, verse 13, he says, the wicked will not prosper, for they do not fear God. Their days will never grow long like the evening shadows. Now, he just said, sometimes they live a long life and they're buried with honor, but he's saying he understands that God knows all. And in the end, everything is just and fair, even though we don't see it on this earth. And then we close with verse 15. So I recommend having fun, because there is nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way, they will experience some happiness along with all their hard work God gives them under the sun. He's not saying anything goes, do whatever you like, do whatever feels good. All that's important is that we be happy. No, he's saying that even through our trials, even through all the harsh realities of life that we learn, if we can come to a place of understanding in relationship in God, where we can personally experiencing peace and joy, that we can love others because God first loved us, and we can stop and smell the roses and enjoy his beautiful creation. That's one thing that spoke to me at the women's retreat over the weekend. it impressed upon me that I don't do that very often. I'm always big picture. I'm very purposeful. I'm always thinking about God's mission, God's plan, and I'm always trying to do the right thing. And I'm a very serious person. Sometimes I forget to just stop and smell the roses and enjoy the little things. And I believe God wants us to do that. It's not selfish. We shouldn't hesitate that. I think that in spending time, quiet time, observing this beautiful world that He's given us and all these beautiful plants and flowers and stars at night and all of those things He's given us, and that we should enjoy them while we are here. So, we were put here to give Him glory. So, why not enjoy the things that show His glory and find joy in them? That's it for today. I hope you all have a great day. I will talk to you soon.